Welcome to the Unseen Realm with Paul Renfro and friends. I'm your host, Paul Renfro, and with me are dear friends and mature people who are studying the scripture together about living as a spirit. We're using the scriptures in my book, Nobody Sees This You, How to Live as a Spirit in the Unseen Realm. It's available at ParadigmLighthouse.com. That link is in the show notes. You're welcome to get a copy, but it's the tagline that probably drew you to this presentation. Finally, a Bible explanation for what you are experiencing. Because all of us in this group have been through this process of having that itch inside that nobody could scratch. But instead of giving up, we each have pursued God and found that He could scratch that itch. When strange things keep happening, don't you feel deep down that there is something, some way, somehow, somebody in an unseen world, and maybe in your life, you aren't crazy? That is happening to more and more people, and it's happening to us as well. It is God agitating people to draw near to Him, and that's not an easy process. We welcome you to join in. Please give me a thumbs up or a thumbs down, because your comments are welcome, and the show notes will tell you how to contact me directly. Now, my friends and I, thank you for joining us. It's a privilege to talk about these things with each other and to include you. We're taking one Bible passage at a time that's used in my book, Nobody Sees This You, How to Live as a Spirit in the Unseen Realm. And then our group discusses it together. So let's get started. Now, we're going to begin with the excerpt from Nobody Sees This You, How to Live as a Spirit in the Unseen Realm. And it's an excerpt from chapter 5, beginning on page 82. Our spirit's sense perceives the unseen world, and it's susceptible to any of the five physical senses: sight, smell, hearing, taste, and touch. Now, sorcery over the centuries has sense for the unseen world. Seek it apart from God, and He's the spirit who created all. Sorcerers and witches are extremely dangerous because they independent means of control has seduced them to replicate Satan's own prideful independence. And thus, practitioners of witchcraft and other sorcery seek to perceive the spirit world while avoiding God. Their independence, air quotes here, their independence from God leaves them as loveless slaves of all else. And this is a very current topic because it's all over the airwaves and streaming video and broadcast these days, whether it's series about vampires and werewolves or, even normalizing this idea of witchcraft. And especially as a young person listening to these things, you have to be very vigilant because witchcraft is essentially joining the rebellion of Satan against God, seeking an independent authority in the spirit world apart from Him. In contrast, a communion exists among our saved and holy spirits, like us on the Zoom Bible study, and if you've put your faith in Jesus, that is not possible through any natural sense. The community of living spirits, the only one on earth where God Himself is at the center. Now, the natural man does not perceive the things of the Spirit of God, Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 2, for they are foolishness to him. Nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. This is exactly our point. You can't relate to the spirit world through the five physical senses. But when we're filled with the Holy Spirit, what does Paul say about us? He who is spiritual judges all things and is himself rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And that's from Paul's first letter to the Corinthian church, chapter 2. Now here we have the heading, the sense for the Bible. The mind of Christ means that we have a sense for His voice in the Bible. The Bible is His. The Bible is His word. Because the human race is dead in spirit, we cannot know a God who is spirit. We can perceive His influence and His qualities, as Paul said in Romans 1, but no intimacy is possible. And Paul described how despairing our condition is in his second chapter of his letter to the Ephesian church. At that time, you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise,
having no hope and without God in the world. But God took action for his, he revealed himself. The Bible contains that revelation and is that revelation. Now, to learn more about the Bible's miraculous composition and preservation, my wife Diane has written The Bible, The Life of a Book by Diane Renfro. So you can search it on ParadigmLighthouse.com, our website. Seeing God's methods for assembling and protecting the Bible builds your faith in its divine authority and renders your faith unassailable. Now, the fulcrum of the entire Bible is Jesus Christ. In him, God made the ultimate revelation of himself. Apostle John spent 3 years in discipleship with Jesus and summed it up with these words in John's Gospel, chapter 1, verse 18. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared. And so before we go to Bill, let me tell you, that's an excerpt from pages 82 and 83. Nobody sees this you. How to live as a spirit in the unseen realm. And so, Bill, tell us about your sense for the Bible and the things in this section that were meaningful to you.
As it relates to the Holy Spirit, you know, I've always known Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit was part of the Trinity. You know, I don't think I had a real concept for, you know, exactly what that meant. As you talk about going to Charis, you know, we had one book for 2 years of study up there, and we had people that were teaching on different aspects of the and the sense of the for the Bible was much in the Old Testament. Jesus pops up all over it. Never thought about it. I don't know how much I read the Old Testament, you know, growing up, it at all. The one that was taught me was to, and I knew that there was more to what I was living in fear, that my relationship with God was out of fear and going to hell. Go to another. I've played church all life and been a growth process. The sense of the Holy Spirit, being a part of the Holy Spirit as soon as I accepted Christ, and I kind of like Barbara said, you know, I have a point in life where I was sitting and looking at the Grand Canyon or coming out of an assembly in, what was it, 97, or that you had. I didn't have any of that. I believed in God, even Jesus Christ, as long as I remember. Growing in Christ was only after the Word and studying the Word. And as I've done that, it has given me a great in the Spirit. That God is Spirit, the Word is, and you know, they say, I've heard praise Jesus Christ from the dead lives, and how, where, why? It's in studying that Word that the realization has come to me. But as I said, that one of the things that really hit me in this study was it coming alive in you, so that you have this intimacy, this relationship. And you know, and that was one of the things that drew me to Charis when we went up there. And we had heard him speak, and he had a conference, and we decided we were going to go up there.
Let me interject. When you're talking about Charis, that's spelled Charis, which comes from the Greek word in the Bible for grace. And then Woodland Springs,
Woodland Park,
Colorado. And it's the lead comic who's on TV, and your name may be familiar to the listener. And so it was familiar to you, and went out there and pick up. You were going to tell you one of the things that impressed you when you went out there.
Well, the first thing that touched me was the number of young people that just had this relationship, that were on fire for the Lord. And I would look and I say, where was I? What was I doing when I was that age? But I got the sense that I was supposed to be there, that there was something there for me in my walk that was going to help me. And I remember when I got in the car, and when it was all over, it was coming home, I said, "Bert, I got a word that we're supposed to be there." And she said, "Well, I can't believe you said that," because she said I had the same word. And well, we had obstacles to overcome.
I'll say.
The first thing is with accepting us, we had to figure out what we were going to do with Chip. And he went to class with us every day. We had a Presbyterian that made us swear that when we went up there, that we would not drink the Kool-Aid. So there's some obstacles for us to get there, but we were supposed to be there. And, the Lord has talked to me a couple of times. And when he speaks to me, I heed what he says, and it was a experience. And again, it's a much better feeling of who I am in Christ and who I am in spirit.
Well,
but again, I'm not there, this chapter really spoke to me, and has caused that I need to get into.
Oh, hallelujah. Bill, thank you for telling us about that. If you're available, I'd like you to follow up on that. Barbara is Bill's wife. And go ahead, Barbara.
Well, now, I do want to say, the Bible was consistent, but we did have syllabi class.
That's understood, yes.
And I think, I learned so much, and I cannot stress enough how much the importance and that it's the air for every question you ever have, I believe, is there. Not that I've located all of them.
So let me ask you, and then you all are, what did I say? So be prepared. Barbara, when you hear the Lord, how do you hear the Lord's voice in the scripture? What happens is it your attention is drawn to or auditory power of permeates your understanding voice in the Bible?
Well, I will say I'll talk with somebody, listening to someone else teach on scripture.
Ah, beautiful.
But I've had, I think sometimes if I have revelation, it may not be specific to a picture that I'm reading at that time. I don't guess I can give an example. A lot to me. And I don't even remember now the class that I was in, but we were studying. I guess the concept of God being our source was in that portion. I don't know exactly, but it became revelation knowledge to me just in studying the scripture morning that God was my source. Now that sounds well, of course, there's anything about relationship with God knows that he's our source. But it became alive in my spirit. He spoke to me.
That is such a great because, listen, there's so much in your head about God, some good things, some unpleasant things, maybe memories where you felt like he didn't. That what Barbara's describing is something that all of us in this group experience where something is transformed from a fact to relationship experience that can never be taken away. Go ahead, Barbara, back to you.
Well, you've explained it so well that I don't have much more to say, except the reason it means so much when it becomes, when you mention of something, is you can keep going back to that concept. And I still do that. Question about something, I don't know. I can't think of an example right now, but I always say, well, God is my source. I don't have to be in fear of this. I don't have to wonder about that. God, you are my source.
Well, let's see. Lisa, go ahead and unmute yourself. Barbara, thank you. Bill, you really set us up greatly. Lisa, we're going to watch out. So just let's talk about, as you speak to you in the Bible, the sense for the Bible that.
Okay. First of all, I really cannot. I really can recommend getting a Bible, especially the new, one of those Bible in a year. If it takes you 2 years, it keeps you on track. Just, you know, December 11th reading, do it. Mm-hmm. And I'll read it through. And I have an orange colored pencil at the beginning of the book. It's about like this big now from sharpening it. But whenever something, there's, you know, anything to me, I'll highlight it.
Yes.
Anything and whatever when I'm reading it, if it kind of spoke to me, orange pencil, it was big.
You need another one pretty soon.
That was,
and let me cut Lisa just said, because that process of marking is not so much for me. I do it a lot. I go through about a Bible because I write in my Bibles and I make marks and so. And what it does for me is it's a way of transforming us and kind of my hand, and I get a physical motion associated with, and somehow that in my mind a great deal more than it had just passed across my eyes. How many license plates do you see in the course of driving every day, but you don't remember them? And how many numbers do you see in the course of your work during the day, but of course you don't remember all of them? But when somehow you make a note, it does help get it into your system. So, Jerry, I told you we were going to come to you next, and then we'll end up with Becca. But, Jerry, what are your thoughts as you interact with the Scripture and your thoughts on this chapter?
Well, I'm gonna step by just the narrow topic of this of the Bible in itself. My personal experience is that I read something in the Bible every day.
Yes.
I make a point of that before I go to bed. And there are sometimes I see things that I wish I hadn't read because they bother me. They the Old Testament, it's full of stories that why in the world would this king do that? Or why would he do that? What's wrong with these people? But the thing that I'm absolutely convinced of is we're born the desire to know God. It's inherent to us as human beings. Now, step outside that. How many human beings have been born with a strong desire that never had the opportunity to be exposed to the Bible? It may have been some heathen tribe or somewhere, and their witch doctor or whatever satisfied that, or tried to anyway, through some weird rituals or whatever they, those people lived and died, and they didn't have what we have. They weren't, you know, they missed that blessing. Had it in their heart that they needed to worship something. Mm-hmm. You know, there's that. I think it's just part. It's built in mm-hmm. into our.
It is more like Barbara was saying in a earlier. The more. Tell you what, Jerry, let's go and finish up with Rebecca. And I want to share the 1 year Bible that Lisa was talking about. Go ahead, Rebecca, what are your thoughts about the Bible and what the things that the others have said? You're finishing up out here at the moment.
Jerry was just, I think it's in here, all of us that we want to know God, but we're just constantly searching. And I know what you were saying, it just kind of struck me about the... And the sorcery, I just, that's a counterfeit form of seeking God. And I don't know all that's going on in today's world as far as what all those counterfeits are, but lately I would be the New Age movement. And it's kind of, I know they use terms like the universe or manifesting this. And that's just, I've just heard a lot of that in at least my age group stuff. I think that if they could just realize that that's just the fit version of God, and that they're actually working some principles to a certain extent, just God. And it just reminded me, if you don't mind me reading Matthew 16:26, what good will it be for someone to gain the whole world, forfeit their soul? or what can any give in exchange for their soul? So they're seeking after these things when they're going to the direct source, which is God himself. And that's where you're going to find all of your answers.
Oh, my goodness. And I want to share with you, viewers, as listeners, the beautiful state God made in Isaiah 55. And if you're a viewer, I'm going to put it on the whiteboard so you can see it. It's the very first three verses of Isaiah 5. And so it says, oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Yes, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wage does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me. And eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear, come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And so on that note, listener, viewer, this episode has been full of warning. For instance, Bill certainly would not poo-poo the fact that we definitely do not want to die and spend eternity in hell, which Jesus, totally, nobody else, God. It, like he says, incline your ear and come to me, hear, and your soul shall live. And each of us have talked about how inclining our ear involves reading the Bible carefully. And so I want to share a screen with everyone that will really benefit you as we look at the shared screen. First, you see that, do y'all see Bible Gateway there and the song Isaiah 55? Okay. And so you can go to BibleGateway.com. It's very simple. You don't have to buy a Bible if you don't want. You can always, any kind of passage you remember and digitized, you can search for it. But I also want to show you, and this is just one of many. So I don't know if this is what you're using. Give me a thumbs up if it is. That the one-year Bible is arranged, so you read a little bit every day for a year, and they've got different translations, so you can pick your poison, whatever. That's probably not the right word. They've got different translations, and so you can pick the one that seems most readable to me, to you. I use the New King James Version. I have this. Bless you all for your Okay. All right.
Can I say one thing?
Go for it.
If you're talking about a good way to get into reading the Bible, and I thought about this when Lisa was speaking about, but I learned this from a Karis instructor, to take a chapter, a book of the Bible, and pick out or decide on one like an aspect of Jesus' ministry. So I did this with compassion, with the love of Jesus. And go through, and as you read, when you use a scripture that talks about Jesus's compassion, you underline it. I would take notes and everything. That gets a little,
I've seen your. No, you take notes, yes. But people vary, and so you take notes.
It is a good way to tackle the Bible. Yeah,
that's typically called a top-up study. You would go through and circle everything that had to do with Jesus' compassion. I bet you found a lot, didn't you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And then the Holy Spirit was amazing too. You do that in the New Testament, starting out in the Gospels, before he tells you about the Holy Spirit.
That is gold. And so, Lisa, you're going through the one-year Bible, and so going through the one-year Bible on multiple occasions. Is that I could use it for that topical study as well. All right there on one time. I mean, it's just so. And the amazing thing is that the scripture was composed over 1,400 years by 44 people, and yet the message is so harmonious. Just amazing. Now, Jerry, notwithstanding what you said about the Old Testament, and we'll have to have more conversation about that in an upcoming episode.
We'll continue our discussion in the next episode of The Unseen Realm with Paul Renfro and his friends. In the show notes are the links mentioned, as well as the whiteboard we used and the scriptures that we discussed. Now, you already know that our podcast and Bible discussion benefits from your thumbs up or thumbs down, right? So thanks for doing that, and we'll enjoy your participation. If you have questions or interest, you can use the contact form at paradigmlighthouse.com to reach out to us.